Hello, Bailey.
Hi, Carl.
What is up?
Not much, just kind of vibing out. What's up with you?
Vibing. I'm hanging out. It's been a minute. I apologize that it took us so long, but in our defense, much has happened and life is a chaotic mess right now, but we're making time. I do have a job and I am scheduling around my job to do this podcast. So I hope that the people appreciate.
Yeah, we also have a 3 hour time difference because we live on different coasts. So,
Yeah, truly, like it is a Herculean effort for us to get together and record this podcast, but we do it because we're dedicated to the art and the principle of the thing.
exactly. Yeah. So we extend our deepest apologies to those who have been waiting after every episode for another episode for too long. But,
Yes.
the world is ending and we are both busy and we apologize, but not that much
But
because.
not that much. And good things come to those who wait. And sometimes life takes you on a journey. And
Yeah.
sometimes the real podcast was the friend you made along the way. So that's what I
Yeah.
have to say about that.
And my friend through it all is Carla Hardy. So that's all that
And
really
my friend
matters.
was Bailey, and we love each other. And we're not going to talk about the podcast, actually. We're just going to give each other compliments for an hour. I hope you're
Yeah,
ready.
this podcast is not for you guys. It's just for me and Carla. So thanks for listening anyway.
Yes, yeah. If anyone else wants to listen, like, I'm not going to stop you, but truly, it is
Yeah.
not made for you.
It is to keep our friendship bonded through long
Oh
distance
yes. Oh yes.
post-grad.
Have we seen any content, any related content that we want to discuss lately? Oh, what I will say is I just watched a video of Avon Jogia, which I learned is how you pronounce his name, and that apparently a lot of people don't pronounce it correctly. He's the actor who plays Beck. I just watched him do a video of reading thirsty tweets. So that was very informational and very good. And he's a very smart person. Imagine what the actor who plays Beck is like. He seems very intelligent. He's an intellectual, one might say.
I love that. I
I
love
love
when
it
you
too.
find out that like old Disney Nickelodeon stars are actually super smart, cool people.
Yeah. And he writes poetry and has a band, and it's pretty dope. Check it
Oh
out if you
no.
want.
Not everybody's ideal problematic boy who
Right.
writes poetry and is a band.
I know. It's almost too fitting.
Yeah, that's pretty on board with Beck, honestly.
Yeah. Beck was featured a lot in these episodes, which was good for me.
Yeah, I was totally into it. The first episode we're going to be talking about today is episode 14. It's called The Wood. And I don't know, Carla, did you have any predictions going into this episode before you watched it based on title alone?
Well, I was already like, I am nervous. I was just nervous. I
Just
didn't.
anxious.
I was like, I don't love this title. I'm nervous there's going to be an innuendo situation. And that was pretty much my main thought as I watched the episode. And also, it had been so long since I watched Victorious. And both of these episodes were like fine. They were not amazing. They were not terrible. I was like, that happened.
Agreed. I also thought that maybe there would be some penis jokes about the wood.
Yeah.
Maybe a reference to Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods, but that was a little too advanced of a thought for me. I don't know why I thought that that would
I know
happen.
we would. You're dreaming.
Yeah, that would be kind of insane. Remember when we did that show together in college?
God, I will never forget.
It was an influential time in my life.
It certainly was. That's how we became friends. But also, why does anyone ever do that show? Because it is so hard.
And also so long. The first
It's
act
so
ends and you're like,
long.
time to go home. And
Nope.
then it's like, wait, you have a lot of trauma to go through. Sit back down, you guys.
Let's do a recap of the Wood episode. Some TV producers come to Hollywood Arts and they decide to shoot a reality TV show. And it's called The Wood, as in Hollywood, and it's about teenagers at a performing arts school in Hollywood. And so it's pretty much right in the pocket of what happens at Hollywood Arts. So they come and they audition students. Essentially, they do some typical reality TV BS and they create a lot of drama for all the Hollywood Arts students. And is this the episode where Trina and Robbie have to work in the shack?
The Grub Hub, I think that's what it's called. It's like the taco truck. Yeah, so these Hollywood producers come by, and of course Trina, always advocating for herself, like the queen as she is like, me, I want to be on the reality TV show. And for some reason, the producers are like, no, we don't want you.
I know.
So they pick the most boring people at the school to be in their reality TV show. So it's like Beck, Jade, Tori, Andre.
And I think they pick Andre as well.
Yeah. But then Robbie and Trina are excluded.
Which, personally, I would absolutely include. If I was doing a reality TV show, Trina would be my first pick because she's nuts. And she's so entertaining. Yeah. And she would just be a one-woman show. She literally did one. So, of course, she would be my reality TV pick. I did really appreciate in the auditions, they were like, what's the worst thing you've ever done? And I was like, yeah, Tori, feel bad. Let's not forget that you were a terrible friend.
That was actually pretty funny because I feel like normally with Disney Nickelodeon shows, it's normally like an episode is isolated and they never bring up anything that ever happens in any of the other episodes. But yeah. I liked that Tori was like, yeah, I remember a couple episodes ago when I was a horrible friend and kissed my friend's boyfriend and spilled hot cheese on all of them. Yeah, that was something I did. So that was pretty good. It felt good to have some nostalgia for the past.
I love continuity. I don't love the lack of Cat.
Yeah, it's another episode where she's obviously off doing something much more important, but I think that she would have been great. I love like audition sequences in shows. I think that they're so funny and good, and I'd kind of like to talk about each of their auditions because I thought that they were great. We've talked about Tori's, where she's like, yeah, by the way, I did a horrible thing, and of course the producers are like, write that down, Katie the intern. There's Katie, the intern, and she's kind of like there.
I loved Katie, the intern. We're all Katie, the intern.
Katie, the intern's what I'm trying to be out here in LA. So if anybody's looking for Katie, the intern who listens to this podcast, please let me know. Andre's audition was really funny because he had this like emotional dilemma. So they asked him what he loved and what he hated. And what he loved was music. And what he hated was Brussels sprouts. And then they asked him, what if you had to sing a song about Brussels sprouts? And he had this like horrible moral conundrum right on the spot. And it was actually pretty good television. I really enjoyed that part.
I thought that was such a perfect example of like the trademark Nickelodeon random oddball humor that is really consistent throughout like iCarly and Drake and Josh and like all the Nickelodeon shows. They all kind of have that stamp of like left turn questions or like these random moments that are funny, but I more appreciate it for the sense of like out of context, you could watch that and be like, oh, I know exactly. Like it's a brand, which is funny.
Totally. It's like the brand that's like good and wholesome, you know, it's like not problematic. Yeah. It's just a song about Brussels sprouts, you know? I don't know if you noticed this, Carla, but Trina had a story about a horse, and I realized that Trina's a horse girl.
Yes.
In a good way.
Oh, yes. I love when she was, like, talking about the horse and wearing a hat, and she was like, the horse isn't wearing a hat. Do they even make hats for horses? And that really, really got me. I would pay money to see Trina on a horse, Trina talking about a horse. Trina the horse girl is the spinoff arc that we need.
Trina the horse girl. Fuck you, Sam and Kat. We want Trina the horse girl.
That's our next one woman musical. We'll produce it.
Hey, Danielle, whatever your last name is, we have a proposition for you. Not affiliated with Nickelodeon. Oh, this is just a tangent, but I've been applying to jobs in the film industry because I live in LA and that's what you do. And there's a couple of jobs for Nickelodeon, and I was thinking about the other day, like, what if I got an interview with Nickelodeon and I had to just like explain, like, by the way, you guys, I have a podcast about Victorious, and they'd either
be have to delete the podcast.
I know. They'd either be like, get off the premises immediately, or they'd be like, you're hired. No in between. I kind of would like the opportunity. Nickelodeon, please. Anyway, back to these auditions. He sat down on the stool and he said, I'm Robbie. And then Rex said, I'm Rex. And the producers go, nope, thank you for your time.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. And I was like, literally me the first time I watched this show.
Nope, thank you for your time.
I said LMAO when they said no to Rex immediately. Me too.
I think that Jade's was the best. Well, Beck got up there and Katie the intern just was like really horny for like a second.
Oh,
And
yes.
they were like, okay, he's hot, we'll hire him. But then Jade got on and they were like, what do you hate? And she just went on this list of like all the things she hates. And she was like, rainbows, smiles, the color brown. Like she just listed like all this stuff. And Carla, I would like to know, what do you hate?
I hate injustice. I hate chocolate, which is a hot take. I hate the feeling of chalk. I don't like touching it.
Ew, chalk
I
is the
hate,
worst.
yeah, I hate when people don't push their chairs in, and I hate wasps. That's a short list. What
Oh,
about you?
wow. I too hate injustice. I hate when people drive really slow in the left lane.
Ooh.
I really hate. The first thing that came to my head was little kids, but that's not true.
Bailey, do you need to talk to someone?
No. I hate Republicans on Facebook.
True.
I hate people who don't want to wear a mask and claim that they can't breathe. Because it's like, yeah, you can.
Yep. I hate people who think that not being nice to the environment is funny or
Yeah.
cool. People would like purposefully take a piece of paper and throw it in the trash to make me angry. And because I was really big into recycling at age five or
Oh
whatever.
no.
And I was just like, why is this your personality trait? Like, do you not care about the environment? Like, why do you think it's cool to litter? Oh, that really gets me. It's so immature. And I feel like there are people like that still exist today. They're like, they think it's cool to not give a shit about the environment. And it's in like new ways where it's like, oh yeah, my truck has horrible gas mileage and I don't clean the exhaust and I think that's cool. And I don't think that's cool. I hate that actually. It's very immature and selfish.
Yeah, I hate that too. Or like I hate the kids who would like kill bugs for fun.
Oh.
Yeah, like I have this distinct memory of being on a field trip to some like I don't know, Civil War place, and these kids would just be killing daddy long legs just because it would like get a rise out of some people.
I know. Like, literally, what? Why do you hate? Why do you? Why? Why? I just
Why?
have one question, and it is why. You know what else I hate? There was this girl at summer camp. The first time I ever went to summer camp, there was this girl, and she was one of those people that just liked to do exactly what we're describing. Like, piss, like, find someone who cares about something and then make fun of. Basically, what's happening here is people are making fun of other people for caring. And that's lame. That's something I hate most of all because it's so cool to care about things. And it's so stupid and dumb and a horrible take to be like, you're dumb for caring. Because the whole point of being alive is to care about things. I digress. This girl at summer camp, I was very into like saving the environment and like taking care of all the little critters when I was a child, and I still am. And she would take aerosol bug spray and just spray the air around her, and like any ant that she came in contact to, it was on site for any ant. She would just annihilate them with bug spray. And I was like, first of all, aerosol is bad for the environment. Secondly, what do those bugs do to you? And then she realized that it annoyed me, and so then she would just do it twice as much just to piss me off. And then I was like, this is insane. What? Are you a psychopath? What is happening?
God, that's so annoying. Ants are
I
cool
haven't
as
thought about
shit.
that for so long. That
Wow,
was
I'm
a
sorry to have brought
deeply.
back Girl Scout camp trauma from this question about Victorious, but that's super valid. And I just find it really annoying when people do things that they know purposely bothers you because it bothers you. It's like
I hate
just
that. And I was always on the end of being bothered by that.
God.
Why do people want to watch the world burn? I don't know.
I don't know. Now I'm sad.
You know what? Beck hates reality TV.
Yeah, he
And of
does.
course, he had to be not like other boys and
Yeah, it's like
be
it's
like
not cool, not like reality TV, okay? Don't get your panties in a wad and sit down and watch America's Next Top Model, okay? You're not better than it. You're not, Beck.
True, but
Real Housewives
also,
is calling, Beck, and you're gonna love it.
if I had been in high school, I would have been hanging on every. This man is a genius.
Ugh, yes. I would have let him gaslight me to the ground. Shit.
He's like talking about acting and blah, 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 and I was like, yes. Explain this to me.
Yes, he was talk. I remember that in his audition.
So pretentious, but so hot.
Yeah. Ah, oh, man.
So, what happens after their auditions?
So they find out that they get in the show, and the producers like come to them at lunch and are like, "Hey, you guys, you, and you made it in." And then Trina was like, "What about me? I want to be in the reality TV show." And the producers go, "No, you reek of desperation," which just fucking blows my mind that on this children's television show, as a joke, they fucking ruin Trina's light by telling a teenage girl that she reeks of desperation. Oh, I cannot believe it. That probably happens like all the time in the,
Oh, yes.
you know. But it just it was funny, but then I was like, "Oh my God.
I
Trina."
know. You poor thing.
Yeah.
So they start filming them, and they go to Tori's house, and immediately as soon as they started filming her, I was like, oh, I just realized how much I was gonna hate having to watch Victoria Justice do reality TV. And I was like, oh, I really gotta brace myself for this episode because it's gonna annoy the shit out of me to
Yeah.
like watch her try to be like quirky or funny or like random or whatever for this thing. And so she, I don't know, does some stuff around her house and they are like videotaping her. But then I don't know if you caught this, but and I was watching this also like with my housemates, so I was like kind of halfway paying attention, halfway not paying attention. But I'm pretty sure that when they were first, the producers, when they were filming her, did they not say something along the lines of like encouraging her to, and I quote, like talk urban? Did you catch
Yes.
this?
No, that's literally what I was about to say next.
Yeah.
Didn't like that at
I was like,
all.
the subtle racism jumped out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're basically like trying to get her to, I guess, emulate like other popular reality TV. And so essentially what they wanted her to do was to be a caricature of what is on popular reality show, which generally relies on exaggerated stereotypes. Angry woman trope, or like a loud black woman trope, which is so cringy and horrible. And oh, not to be not like other boys Beck, but that is my chief complaint with reality, the industry of reality TV, is I feel like it does reinforce a lot of really like yikesy and horrible stereotypes. And I wonder how much of that type of stuff happens on actual reality TV show where producers are like encouraging people to be caricatures or stereotype versions of themselves or their cultures.
Yeah, totally. If you think about shows like Real Housewives of Atlanta
Real
and things like
Housewives,
that,
yeah.
I love to watch white women yell at each other. Like, I think that
Oh, of course.
that's prime television. But I mean, if you think about the other shows, like mainly shows featuring women of color, it's like, ooh, that's just like
Especially
using that.
when a lot of the production team is like white men in power.
Totally,
And
totally.
they're making money off of essentially coercing these women into like making fools of themselves on TV. And like they get paid for it too, but it's just a weird, it's a weird, tricky dynamic. And
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that they brought that into this episode when it was one, not really a joke, two, added nothing. Like it was just so weird and a one-off thing. And I was like, you could have just not said that.
Yeah, totally. It's like, hey, this subtle racism's really gonna get a laugh out of some 10-year-olds.
Yeah,
Ew.
it was so weird. I was like, why? Like, why wouldn't they just say like be more animated or something? I don't know. It was so, which
Yeah, it
then it
was
just,
super weird.
I think that just enforces that the writers wouldn't have even thought of that as like being racist or
Yeah.
being problematic in any way. And that's just very revealing of like the creative team.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point.
Just like everything else in the show, it's weird and problematic. It doesn't add anything to the plot.
Heyo,
So anyway,
womp.
after they decided to be racist for a second, Tori gets a phone call from her aunt, and immediately from this phone call, I was like, I know exactly where this is going. And her aunt calls her about like a car or something. And basically what happens is over the course of, I don't know, the next few days in the episode, the producers videotape Tori and I think just Tori and Beck. Yeah. I don't think they get anything of Jade, but they splice it all together to make it look like Tori and Beck are having an affair. And I simply hated it. And as soon as they got cast, I was like, oh, no. They're going to do some, it's going to be some Tori and Beck silliness, which I still, it just confuses me. I really want to know what the writer's end game plan is for all these characters, because it seems like they want to put Tori and Beck together, but I don't think they ever do. And I have a lot of questions. And it's so annoying every time it happens, because it's like, either commit to the thing or don't. And it's just like, I'm confused as an audience member. Am I supposed to root for it or not?
Yeah, totally. Well, I think that one of us sent a tweet to the other one about how, like, Victorious never had a finale. And
oh, true.
So maybe they, I don't think that they had intended anything. Like, I stand by the fact that these writers just, like, do coke and put something on paper and then, like, are like, all right, let's go. It's greenlit. Like, let's do it.
True.
Yeah. But I feel like I don't know what happened with Victorious, but last night my housemates and I, we watched Frenemies, which is that, like, Disney Channel original movie with Bella Thorne and Zendaya.
Yes.
And it was literally horrible. There was, all three acts of the film were written by different people. So they, like, were literally, like, three completely different movies. Like, Bella Thorne and Zendaya were not in the first and third act. It was super, super weird. But after that, we were like, oh, let's watch Shake It Off, just because we can. And
Shake It Up?
Shake It Up, yes. Thank you. Shake It Up because we can. And the, like, we watched, like, the second to last episode because it was a Halloween special, and the last episode was just like no finale energy at all. So, like, maybe it, like, got cut or something before it ended, and maybe that's what happened with Victorious too, because I don't know, we'll get there when we get there. But I feel like whatever intentions they could have possibly had for Tori and Beck probably never follow through on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So my main takeaway from this whole reality TV plot with the whole them trying to make Tori and Beck look like they're dating is, like, it's so gross and predatory and weird, because there's, like, these adult producer men and there's, like, these 17-year-old kids and they're kind of just, like, fucking with their lives. Like, they're
totally
really just, like, we're going to wreck a high schooler's life, which reminds me of this other TV show that my roommate was telling me about, a reality TV show that only had one season. And the plot, this is a real thing that happened. I don't know what it's called, but you can Google it. Maybe I will Google it and we'll link it or something. But it's a reality TV show in which these high school couples are like, I don't know, I guess the producers of this reality TV show, I don't know how they went around and found these people, but they found these real life high school couples who were like, we are going to marry each other and start a family.
Whoa,
like next
what?
Year. Like couples who were in high school, but were like, we are in love and we are going to get married.
No.
And so they found these couples and put them on TV, and then they gave them a literal infant, like someone's baby. And they were like, take care of it. And so, so they do that for like a week or 2 weeks, and then they get like a toddler, and then they get like an elementary schooler, a middle schooler, and a high schooler. So they have to take care of a kid at every stage of life. And in every single case, all of the couples break up by the end of the show.
I'm losing my mind. That's insane.
First of all, I have so many questions about this, because one, who in their right mind is the parent of an infant and is like, yes, I will let these two idiot teenagers take care of my infant for 2 weeks. Number two, these producers really just said, we want to break up 10 high school couples. Like, we want 10, like, we want 20 17-year-olds to experience heartbreak.
Like, no, you, not that. Not that.
Like, they really just ruined the lives of all of these kids. I guess they kept them from marrying each other, which probably would have, as we can see, not been a good decision in the end. But
yeah,
it was immediately canceled because it's a horrible premise, but it probably was so entertaining.
Oh my god. Speaking of unethical reality television shows, have you heard of Kid Nation?
I have not.
Oh, Carla. I can't wait to tell you about Kid Nation. So it also had one season, because everyone who produced the show should have gone straight to jail. So there's this like abandoned ghost town, and it's called like Bonanza City. It's clearly just like a set, but it's like the aim of the show is to like return it to its former glory. So they get like 40 children ages 8 to 15, and they put them in this abandoned ghost town with no supervision. They have them come off of a school bus to this abandoned area, and then 40 children have to wheel old-timey wagons full of supplies 5 miles down the road to this abandoned ghost town. And then these children have to start like a little government and fend for themselves and kill the chickens and bake the food and make wares to survive. And it's literally insane. There's like a bunch, I'll send you some reaction videos to it on YouTube or something, but it's literally most bonkers thing ever. There's like 4 children who were appointed to like town council, and they have to make all the decisions for all of the other literal children that are in this ghost town with no supervision. It's crazy. Like,
that is nuts. Is
the birthplace of trauma for these poor children. It's crazy. These producers were like, let's ruin some kids' lives. And the parents were like,
network executive,
I would like money.
Was like, yeah. What network executive was like, this is a good idea.
And we were watching it the other night as a house, and it is prime television. Super entertaining. Like, these kids are so fucking wacky, but it is so unethical and horrible and terrible. But if you've heard of Kid Nation, let us know on our Twitter or something. But yeah, that's like a whole, I feel like that's like a whole subgenre of unethical reality TV is like, let's mess with
anything
some minors'
with children.
Lives. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So in Victorious, when they're watching the episode and they all realize what's going down, and which they do a pretty good job because it does look exactly like that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And then Jade gets super mad and then fights Tori, and there's so much homoerotic tension in this fight.
Yep.
That must be acknowledged.
But also, I was like, Jade, you have to know that it's not real, girl. Like,
I know, yeah.
You have to know. I don't know. Any excuse for her to fight Tori, I was kind of like, cool.
True. But like, Jade, like, smart.
Yeah.
I like that I like when she's, like, angry and hates Tori, but I don't love when they make her do the, like, jealous girlfriend thing, because I feel like she's too cool for that.
Yeah, I totally agree. There was way too much, like, girl fights in this episode for me.
Yeah.
I didn't love that.
So then they go to the producers and they're like, what the fuck? And the producers are like, it's like, you're just acting. And then I kind of don't remember what happens after that.
Yeah. I kind of don't either, but... Oh, I remember. I remember. So they were like... They went to the producers and the producers are like... They're like, Jade, will you stop fighting Tori if you find out that it actually was a hoax? And so they went to the producers and they're like, hey, was this a hoax? And the producers are like, obviously. So then the gang decides to play up on that and like totally make some real time drama for these producers.
Yes. And then there's that scene in the hallway where Andre and Beck are having a crazy fight, and they say funny things, but I didn't write them down.
Oh, I wrote down some of them. I wrote down a literal brawl ? And then I wrote, Andre, it's true. I don't remember what that is in reference to, but I do remember when Andre was like, they were having this fight and Andre was like, hey, Beck, why'd you have that crazy party at my house or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then Beck was like, cause, cool guy things, I guess. And then Andre had some great one-liners.
He was like about making soup in the toilet.
Yeah,
or something.
He was like, why'd you make soup in my toilet?
That was hilarious. And prime Andre.
Yeah, and then he was like, who put my dog in a wedding dress? That was also pretty good. Writers, you did some good cocaine for that one.
Yes. I really enjoy Andre and Beck. I think I wrote that down. Okay, so I'm just going to read you some out-of-context notes that I have taken, and
yes,
we'll see if we can fashion some meaning out of them. So much yelling. Sin Jan in all capitals. Lady Soap.
What does it mean? What does it mean? This is what happens when we say we're going to record on Tuesday and then it's the next Monday after we watch the episodes.
I know.
It's kind of fun. So it's like a puzzle.
It is a puzzle. I love it. I should take more notes that are just like cryptic and weird, and that can be a whole segment of the podcast, is like, what did I mean when I wrote this note to myself?
Yeah, but I actually like that. I have some of those myself.
Yeah, we'll start doing that. So while the four reality TV stars are causing mayhem in the halls of Hollywood Arts, which actually leads me to another point in the very beginning of the episode, the producers walk in. And because the show has to remind you every 10 seconds that it's a performing arts high school and it's not like other high schools, the only way they do that is to have the children of Hollywood Arts dance throughout the hallways with absolutely no music playing.
It's so weird.
Because these arts kids.
I actually made a note about that too, and I was hoping we'd go back to it. I wrote, not the breakdancers doing the dirty dancing lift.
But there is literally no music.
No.
Or I think there is, but it's so, they edited it so poorly where the music is like so low that it's like, why is this happening? It's so weird. It is so weird and forced. Oh my God. Yeah, that was incredible. So while the four reality TV stars are wreaking havoc upon Hollywood Arts, God forbid if anyone wants to go to a class around here.
Yeah, those don't exist.
Trina and Robbie have their own plot line where they both wanted a empanada or something, and they brutally harmed and broke the arm of the man, the poor man who works in the Grubhub taco truck. And so as punishment, they have to then work the Grubhub taco truck, which, like, don't they have class? They have to be working in the taco truck.
I do not understand the logistics of the school. I would like to speak to an administrator promptly.
Like, is there any curriculum?
There's nothing. There's nothing. But the B plot was really something. And there was some good and some bad in here.
Yes.
I think the bad was after they broke the guy's arm. The counselor brought them into his office.
Oh God, I hate this scene.
They were like, he was like, hey, why'd you do that? And they keep arguing, and to get them to stop arguing, he squirts lotion on them.
It's so gross.
Yeah, I was like, you could have done literally anything else.
I know, it's just so annoying, because it's so obvious that they wanted it to be like, it looks like they have cum on them, which is so disgusting. Like, why couldn't it have been a spray bottle full of water? That would have accomplished the same thing, and it would have actually been funny.
Yeah, or it could have been like orange juice or something. Like, oh, I got orange juice in my eyes. Like, the acid,
yes,
it stings.
It's wacky.
Like, that would have been funny. It's like the show is trying to do the thing that some kids' shows and movies, like Shrek, put in jokes specifically for the parents, like to get the parents to want to watch it. But it's like, what is your target audience for parents? Like some gross dad who's like,
who should not be a father.
Yeah, like, ew. If you're a parent that watched Victorious with your children and enjoyed it, promptly get the fuck to jail.
But
you're going to jail.
Please DM us, because we'd like to have a few words and then go to jail.
Yeah. DM us first. We'll interview you on the podcast, and then we will send you to jail.
In that order.
Yes. The criminal justice system is flawed, but not for you, sir.
So, yeah. So they have to work in the Grubhub, and for some reason, my favorite part of this was that, like, why is Rex in the Grubhub?
Yeah. I don't know. Why is Rex anywhere?
And then she fries his foot.
She fries his fucking foot. That was crazy to me. It always baffles me where he brings Rex. And I guess that's like a bit, but like, you puppet, just leave him at home, baby boy. It's okay.
Leave him at home.
Leave Rex at home. Yeah, remember when they could have killed him off and they didn't? Ugh.
I still am I have not forgiven them for that.
Before we move on to the next episode, can I talk about maybe my favorite line in this whole episode?
Please.
So Robbie and Trina are working the taco truck, and there's like a horde of people outside waiting for their lunch, and people are yelling and they're angry, and Robbie and Trina are super frazzled, understandably. If you've ever worked a restaurant job, this shit kind of sucks. But this one person yells out of the crowd as Robbie's trying to handle these orders and just goes, "Are you Andy Samberg?" That really got me.
I did not notice that at all.
Really?
That is so funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious. We're all thinking it too. It was just like so off the wall and like not really brought up again. Are you that Andy Samberg?
That is so, so funny. I didn't even know who Andy Samberg was at that time of my life.
Yeah, totally not. But the resemblance is uncanny. But they do look like each other. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
So to wrap this episode up, Tori and Jade decide that for the sake of reality TV show, they need to damage a car for some reason. I really checked out of that plot. I actually don't know why this was the case, but for some reason, Tori and Jade need to wreck a car. But then also they're talking about driving. Oh, okay. I guess they decide they want to wreck a car, so they get like a junker car and they wreck the wrong car. It's actually the guy, the poor guy who works for the taco truck, simply cannot catch a break in this episode, so they destroy his car. And then the guidance counselor slash principal slash, no, he's not the principal, he's just the guidance counselor and also the choreographer for their musicals, question mark, is like, well, you have to take the taco truck guy home. And they're like, why don't any of these people have their license is my question.
Yeah, that's confusing.
They're like always like, we got to get someone else to drive. And I'm like, girl, go get your license.
Yeah, especially in LA, because everything is pretty like spread out.
How are you getting to school?
And Uber wasn't around this time. So even though these kids are like definitely kind of well off, like they didn't even have that option. So this is a good point. What the fuck are you doing?
I don't know. We know Trina drives.
This is true, because she's a queena. And that's it.
Because she's a queena. But anyway, so the long and the short of it is they have to take the taco truck man home in a wheelbarrow. And that was, I did enjoy them singing in Spanish on the way home. That was funny.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So that's that episode. And let's summarize it in a word or a phrase. Mine is going to be lady soap.
Mine's going to be soup in my toilet.
Soup in the toilet. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with our next episode about ping pong.
All right, everybody. Welcome back from listening to our kind sponsors. We are now going to talk about episode 15 titled The Great Ping Pong Scam.
This one was, I had a lot to say about this one.
Yeah, I kind of did too. So the long and the short of it is, Tori asks Robbie, Andre, and Kat to hang out after school. A fun fact, she asked them to go to the Grove with her, and I love the Grove. The Grove is in Fairfax, and boyfriend and I go there all the time, and it's really cool, and they have a really great little farmer's market that we love to eat lunch at, and that's where my roommate, Lauren, works. Yes.
Do you live in LA?
Yeah, I do! Oh my god, that's
no
like,
way.
That's like the new, did you study abroad? God.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm obnoxious about that, but I was excited to hear about something that I knew about and that I have been to. That was kind of cool. But anyway, Tori asked them to go to the Grove and they're like, oh, sorry, we have ping pong practice. And she's like, that's totally fake. Ping pong practice? I didn't know we had a ping pong team. And Tori, of course, being as obnoxious as she possibly can, can't just let things go. And she's like, I want to be on the team. And they're like, sorry, you can't be on the team. She's like, I would like to be on the team. She just like won't fucking let it go because she's Tori and she's obnoxious. And they're like, well, you have to talk to Jade. And she's like, hey, Jade, can I be on the team? And Jade's like, no, bitch, go away. We don't want you to be on the team. And so then obnoxious Tori goes to the guidance counselor, choreographer, faculty guy, and is like, I want to be on the ping pong team. And then he lets her try out. That's the long and the short of it. She tries out. She's fucking great at ping pong, but she still doesn't get
on the team. So annoying.
And so this is where she pulls Sinjin into the janitor's closet for that super awkward sexual tension, unnecessary Sinjin being a simp. Sinjin being a simp, and she's like, hey, I need for you to build me something. Didn't you work in the prop shop that one time? And he's like, after he tries to kiss her a bunch of times, like a gross, he's like, yeah, sure, I'll make you the thing. So she then hides in the vending machine in the ping pong room, and she notices that her pals are not playing ping pong. They're actually playing Twister. And so she, something happens where they try to get a soda out of the fake vending machine, and they get stupid Tori instead. Sorry to the people who reviewed us on Apple Podcasts and was mad that we keep making fun of Tori, but we speak the truth and she sucks, so sorry.
That's what we do here, so pack it up and move it along.
Yeah, we're truth seekers and truth speakers, so shut up.
Yeah, wake up, sheeple.
Yeah, so then there's this, like, long drawn out backstory that's actually kind of funny because it has, like, them in the past, like, lip syncing to the voiceover of them telling the story, and I thought it was pretty good. But long story short, but they find out that if they are a sports team and they win something or other, they get $1,500 allotted to them by the school. And this is inspired by a cat coming in and telling them about this really fancy dinner that she went to with her parents. And they were like, we want a fancy dinner. So they find out how to scam the athletics department, which I personally really respect.
Yes. So, yeah. So many things in this episode, so many moments, but also such a dumb plot. Like, I was like, there's so much, but also, did the writers run out of material? What's happening? But the first thing that I want to talk about is how Tori is a literal Karen.
Yes. Oh, she's like, I'm going to go. Karen. Can I speak to your manager, okay, our guidance counselor guy?
Yeah, she literally finds out, like, one single thing that doesn't include her. Well, I go back and forth on this. I have two things to say. But, like, one, oh, my God, it would be so fucking annoying to be friends with Tori because she would literally be that friend that you could never tell anything because, like, she would you'd have to be invited. And you know that she was that friend that all her other friends, like, hung out without her sometimes and had group message without her. And you couldn't let her know because she would, like, not be cool about it. And anytime anything happens, like, she has to be invited. And she literally was, like, tattletailed on her friends because they wouldn't let her play ping pong.
Yeah, it's like, just and it's, go home and read a book, reflect. I know, come on, girl.
It's so exhausting and horrible, and she's so annoying about the whole thing, and it would literally suck to be friends with her. But on the other end, her friends are gaslighting the fuck out of her. Like, as much as Tori is so annoying and such a fucking Karen, I'm also like, this is, like, not cool. Like, they're literally gaslighting the shit. She's like, hey, ping pong is a scam. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, literally in the middle, like, when they're talking about ping pong, they literally pretend like they didn't have a conversation beforehand in the very, very beginning. And I'm like, this would drive me nuts.
That's super true. And I don't really understand why they won't let her in. It's like, I get that it's kind of a secret, but it's like, there isn't really any reason why they can't let her on the team. Like, it's not like they have, like, a team limit, or that, like, by letting her on they don't get the money, or, I mean, she does kind of spill people's secrets, so maybe she would spill a secret, but it seems like people kind of know what's going on with the sports team. Like, Sykowitz is their academic sponsor or whatever. Like, it wouldn't harm them pretty much at all to let her on, besides the fact that she would be annoying.
Yeah, and I guess, like, that's, like, one more mouth to feed and they have a set amount of money, but also, like, they're, like, a friend group, and so wouldn't they, like, want their friend to be a part of this? And also, like, I can't believe that they do this all the time and it's only just now coming up. Also, their motivation for doing anything this episode is, like, super weak.
Yeah, totally.
Also, as you mentioned earlier, Tori plans to spy on them, which I'm like, literally, dude, you suck. You literally suck. You're the worst.
Yeah.
But also, that idea was so stupid. Like, of course, if you put a vending machine in the room, they're gonna, like, Did she not think that they were going to immediately like want to get a soda out of the vending machine?
It's also during the flashbacks, the same vending machine was there. So it's like they just made a replica of the same working vending machine that was there. She could have chosen literally any other piece of furniture that didn't have a use to have hidden it. Come on, girl. Use your noggin.
I know. Oh, my God. But I did enjoy the flashback scene. And I thought the flashback scene was really funny. And there's a beginning, the part where she asks them like what, like why they do this or what the ping pong team is, that she asked for the backstory in the very beginning. I think they all like exchange looks at each other and it was funny. I thought that whole bit was really funny and silly, and they all like take turns telling the story, and the lip syncing is really funny. All of that whole, like everyone is like on their A game there, and that whole bit was like a delight to watch.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Anytime like it's that core group of Ari, Elizabeth Gillies, Beck, Andre, Robbie, like they work well together.
So basically just not Tori.
Yeah, everyone but Tori. Psychowitz, great. Trina, great. Tori really, I'm sorry, Victoria Justice. I'm sure you've gotten better since then, and I'm sure that it was mostly like director notes being bad. But girl, you bring the show down so much. I'm sorry. I just hate watching you perform in this show.
And it's I do think that it is a lot of just the way the character was written. Like she's not the actress for this part, and I know that because when she was in the Sleepover at Psychowitz episode, she was so fun to watch.
Totally. And
I think Victoria Justice would be a much better like side character or like funny character or something, but like having her be on screen the whole time is just like exhausting, and she doesn't have lead character energy, and that is not an insult because the side characters are the funny ones. It's actually much harder to have to be the main person because you have to like be grounded and like be likable all the time, and you can't be zany unless you're in like a unless it's like New Girl and the whole point of the main person is to be zany, and then like the other people are sort of like the grounding characters. But anyway, point being, I don't think that she is a bad actress. I just think that this is not the role for her.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a poorly written role, and we should watch some of her other work as like a Patreon special or something, and just like maybe find some redeeming qualities in her acting, because I know that they're there. I know that they're there. This is,
I'm sure,
from this point forward, if you hear us hating on Victoria Justice, it's really hating on whoever created her and put her in this role that she shouldn't be in.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, Victoria. Absolutely. We love you. We respect you.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I agree. I thought that one thing that was really funny is like, but also a thing that didn't really make any sense is the whole reason that the ping pong club was started is because the principal was going to be fired because there aren't any sports teams that do well, which first of all doesn't even make any sense. And why does anyone care? It's a performing arts school.
Yeah, like, I was so confused.
But I love that they're doing the Glee thing where it's like, if this club or this sports team doesn't win, you're going to get shut down. First of all, when does that ever happen?
Yeah, that's and that the principal would get fired. It would be like the athletic director or something. Like, it just doesn't happen. And also, you make a good point. This is a performing arts high school. Why rely on sport? They're also like a private like charter school. Like you have to audition to get in. They're not sanctioned by like the state or anything like that. From what we know, they're not like a public school who has to like have that same curriculum or whatever. I who is the principal's boss? Who is running the school? I'm super confused. Please explain.
And also, I mean, I don't know. Maybe things are different at some schools, but my high school, we were bad at things, and they continue to exist. Like, you don't have to win for there to be a team. Like, the team just continues to happen. Because if there's students who want to do it, then they do it. Like, it just, the whole point of having a team or an extracurricular in high school is not to like be winning. It's so that like the high school kids have something to do, and usually they're funded by like their parents or whatever. So it's like, as long as people are participating in it, they exist. That is one thing that always bothered me in Glee, because they were always like, if the Glee club doesn't win, shut down. And I'm like, can I tell you how many of my school's fucking sports teams never won a single goddamn game, and they continue to exist?
And even like arts organizations, like five people showed up to the school play three nights in a row, and that shit keeps happening. We're poorly funded, but it keeps happening.
So basically, they're embezzling money from the school.
Yes! They're committing a crime!
Literally, I was kind of like annoyed, because I was like, this money could go towards something the school actually needs. Like, this could be fun to play, or maybe there are actually kids who really like ping pong.
So they've got their $1,500 and they're set to go to the fancy restaurant. Psychowitz goes with them, and they have this whole like charade of them like getting in Psychowitz's van and going to the ping pong tournament, and they have like a ping pong pep rally outside the school. I wrote in my notes, I said, not the ping pong pep rally. Like, why did they have this? People brought signs.
Who the hell cares this much about ping pong?
Some students paid $2.99 at the CVS to buy a poster board and made posters being like, we love ping pong. Ping pong is the best. I wanted to cry and scream.
Yeah, so they go to the restaurant and everybody but Tori dresses up, which I thought was funny because Tori's dumb. You knew you were going to the restaurant. Why would you not bring a change? Clothes.
That's the whole point. The ping pong uniform is a decoy, Tori. Come on.
And she's like, oh, I've never done this before. And I'm like, have you ever gone anywhere ever? Like, I just, it's so simple to think, if I'm going to a nice restaurant, I need to bring a change of clothes. So basically, yeah, they go, they eat. Robbie, like a dumbass, orders a big bowl of caviar.
That's pretty good.
And they can't pay for their meals. So then there's this whole side plot where they didn't book an entertainer for the evening. And so guess what? They're going to sing for their meals. So because the writers of the show had to shoehorn in another musical number. But listen, here's what I'm going to say is I would be furious if I went to this nice restaurant and paid like $500 for this nice ass meal and just trying to eat my pasta and my overpriced steak, and this high schooler is like wailing around the restaurant in my ear and like flirting with my husband. I would be furious.
And it's clearly the vibe of this restaurant is clearly like they got a pianist to do some like nice classical, maybe there's some jazz singers that come in, like it's a classy restaurant, they have like a cool jazz band or something,
and everybody talks over it.
Obviously people don't sit down, it's not like a dinner show, and Tori and Andre sing this god awful pop song that's like kind of slow, and
it's so bad,
so cringy. I took a picture of myself watching it. I'll post it on Twitter. It was so uncomfortable. It made my skin feel weird.
Yes, and first of all, the pattern tights. I hated them. But I was like, you know what? I do have to check myself, because if I was like 13 and watching this show, I would have been like, those are the coolest tights ever.
I totally wore pattern tights in high school.
I did too.
Like under
I won't
a skirt.
Even pretend I didn't.
Oh, with some flats. God. Oh, the past is horrible.
And the last thing that I will say is that there's a Slack update because she's a stupid idiot and she didn't bring the appropriate clothing, she has to switch dresses with Jade. And there's a Slack update and she said, Jade's dress is warm. And I said, ma'am, the homoerotic undertones.
Yup. I totally understand why Victoria's Stan Twitter has deemed Tori and Jade as the top ship.
Yep.
Makes sense.
I get it.
Checks out.
Those are those episodes. I'm glad we're back.
Yeah, I'm glad we're back too. Sorry that we're really unreliable.
It happens.
And life just sucks.
Like the show, sometimes it happens, sometimes it's not. So
yeah. I would also like to note that I watched these episodes the night after the first US presidential debate.
Oh god.
And simply I have an ulcer after that. That's not a joke. Like life is really difficult right now. So I kind of wanted this to be like an escape from the world, but it just kind of made me angry in addition to the anger that I already have. So
But I do feel like it's a good place to put the anger of the world, you know?
Yeah, totally. Let's direct it at these stupid motherfuckers who wrote the show.
Yes, but also thank you because you gave us content. So
yeah, thanks. There's some good with the bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll leave optimistic. I'm looking forward to the next couple episodes.
Yeah, I am too. I'm excited to get back into the swing of things and talk some more. Well, thanks for hanging in there with us, everybody out there.
Yeah, appreciate your patience.
Yeah.
And we'll see you real soon.
We'll see you real soon.